Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Michelle Cachette. I'm in the studio today with Michael Hyatt. Hey there, Michael.
Hey, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing well. And you?
Good. Doing great.
I used to think when I first started in the workplace that the only kind of coaching that happened in the workplace was from the top down, from boss
right.
to employee. However, there are situations where, as an employee, that we can actually coach our boss if we know how to do that. Now, you've been in both positions as an employee and an employer. Have you found opportunities in both cases to coach?
Well, yeah. And like you said, the obvious one is when you coach somebody that is under you, somebody mm-hmm. that reports to you somewhere in the chain of command, mm-hmm. So to speak. Most organizations aren't that hierarchical anymore. But it is rare to think about coaching your boss or somebody that's above you or even a colleague, somebody that's a peer. Mm-hmm. But these have to be done for the good of the organization. And if you're going to be a leader, then you've got to learn how to do this, because there are going to be people that are above you that are inhibiting or hurting your outcomes, the things you're trying to accomplish, by the way they're behaving,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if you don't coach them to a better behavior, then it's not good for anybody. And ultimately, it's not good for the boss who wants the results. So
sure.
if the boss, and I've been the boss that was doing things that hurt the cause, so uh-huh. to speak. And if it hadn't been for somebody that came to me and said, by the way, are you aware that you're doing thus and so? I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't wake up in the morning as the boss thinking, how could I make their lives miserable today?
You know? Yeah, most bosses, for the most part, are well-intentioned, right?
Right. It just came natural.
How nice. You have a gift.
So if it weren't for some key people, some brave people that came to me and pulled me aside and said, look, I just need to share with you something. You know, and I was so grateful because it was good for me. I got to grow as a person.
Mm-hmm.
It was good for a
mm-hmm.
team because I didn't continue to do the knuckleheaded thing that I was doing that was hurting our results. So it was good all the way around. But not every boss is coachable. And more importantly, there's a way to do this that increases the probability that it'll be welcomed mm-hmm. and you'll meet with success in sharing the information.
From my perspective, this episode is a gold mine because it's not only valuable for those of us that are in an employee position, but for those who are listening who are the boss,
yes.
they can listen to this and hopefully become the kind of boss who is teachable and open and receptive
yep.
to input from all different levels of their organization. There are times we think we're very coachable and teachable and we're not.
Right.
So I really challenge our listeners today to really be open-minded and listen with the intent to
yep.
learn here, because our entire team is at stake. You know,
yeah.
our organizational objectives are at stake. And if we can create an environment where there's that kind of openness between employee and employer to have those kind of conversations, it only helps our bottom line.
Well, it doesn't. And I think what else is at stake here is if you're only going to open yourself up to coaching to the people above you, you're going to miss the kind of 360-degree view
mm-hmm.
that the other people on your team have. People that you're managing, people that you're attempting to lead, see things that your boss doesn't see.
Mm-hmm.
I've known people,
mm-hmm.
you've probably known people too, who do a great job of leading up, but they suck at leading down.
Yes.
So in other words, they're really able to manage their boss and the boss's perception of how they're doing, but the people under them are having a different experience, shall we say.
Yes.
So if you'll open yourself up as a manager, you can quickly correct a lot of these problems that you may not have visibility on, mm-hmm. but are really harming your career and harming the progress of your organization.
John Maxwell has a great book called The 360-Degree Leader.
Yes.
Where it talks, and that's what we're going to be really talking about today, is how to be the kind of leader who knows how to coach your boss,
yep.
knows how to give input the right way. Now, before we even dive into the topic, the fear is that if you say anything negative or even positive or constructive criticism, that your job will be in jeopardy.
Yeah, and that's a very real fear. And you know, perhaps, to be fair, if you don't approach this right, it might be.
It could be true.
You know, they might see you as not a team player, so to speak. So this is not, for example, you don't want to be doing this coaching in a public setting.
Yes.
You know, reproving the boss in public is probably not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
But in private, you have a better chance.
Mm-hmm.
So let me tell you an example. This probably goes back 7 or 8 years when I was still the CEO of Thomas Nelson. A lot of people think if you're the CEO, you don't have any bosses.
Right? Not true.
Yeah, I had 7. Every board
member.
You
had a board, yes.
Yeah, every board member thought that they were my boss. And in fact, collectively, they were. And so one time, soon after we had been acquired, we were a publicly traded company, then we got acquired by a private equity company. The head of the private equity company, I sent to him an email summary of the last month's operating results. Now, this has been my practice for years. I did it to my executive team because I wanted to interpret for them and help them kind of process what had happened over the last month, what I saw as the significant things that were worth noting, why we perhaps had a revenue shortfall or why we had a revenue upside, why our expenses were above or below, any significant variances I just talked about. So I thought, well, I'm going to continue this practice. Now, in this particular month, we had missed our revenue from what we had projected, which happens in business. Yes. You know, businesses, sometimes you make it, sometimes you don't. But, you know, when you're, the future is hard to predict, as it turns out. So we missed our goal. We missed it by more than I would like, but I did what I always did, and I summarized it. I sent it to the chairman of our board, and I copied all my executive team, just as I'd always done in the past. And I said, here's what happened, here's why there was the shortfall, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He replied back to me, this was a new relationship, he replied back to me, but unfortunately he did what I've been guilty of, and you probably have too, and that is he replied all.
Oh yes.
When he probably should have just replied to me privately. So basically he chewed me out for missing the budget. You know, and basically, it probably wasn't this bad, but here's how it felt on my end of it. It's like, what the heck happened? Do you really know what you're doing?
It felt like you were being screamed at over email in front of a crowd of people.
And worse, my direct reports.
Oh, which just, oh yeah.
So
basically setting you up for failure, even with the people that you're supposed to manage.
I was fried.
Oh, of course.
I was so angry. I mean, I literally wondered if I should resign over that. And then I thought, you know, my guess is that he didn't intend to do that, but he also needs to be corrected on this because I'm not going to put up with this.
Now, how do you do that? You're already in a position where you feel like you failed, you missed the mark, and now you're thinking about coaching your boss or giving him some feedback, and you already don't feel like you have a good standing. How do you navigate that?
I guess part of it for me was just processing it and thinking, ultimately, if he were to keep engaging in this behavior, he's going to undermine my leadership. And if he undermines my leadership, then I'm not going to be able to lead the very people who can deliver the outcomes
that he wants.
So ultimately, he's hurting himself. So if I saw somebody that was repeatedly shooting themselves in the foot, wouldn't I try to stop them?
Of course.
So here's what
That's such a great, I mean, that's so important right there, that distinction.
Yeah.
You're really making it about helping him to be a success.
That's right.
I mean, it helps you too if he corrects his behavior. But ultimately, you're helping him
really
to see
him.
How it benefits him.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and we can illustrate this as we go through these different considerations, we're calling them in this episode. But so what I did was I didn't respond immediately. I went home, still angry. And over the course of the next several hours, I cooled off and gained some perspective, which is really important. Okay. So I said to Gail,
it's never good to reply to those emails right away.
And I said to Gail, I said, first of all, I need to respond to him, but I'm not going to do it via email. I need to call him.
Okay.
Which, by the way, for me takes a certain amount of courage because it's much easier to sit in the comfort of my office and fire an email salvo and deal with it that way rather than actually picking up the phone and talking to a real human.
I agree. Same here.
So I said to Gail, I said, you know, I'm just going to be honest. I said, I have a lot of fear about this. I said, this is a new relationship. We did miss the budget and I might get fired. I mean, I can't imagine that I would because I'm not going to be disrespectful and I'm not going to, you know, rebuke him and grandstand and all the rest. But let's be honest, I could get fired. He may just say that's not the way he works. And his response was pretty, you know, pretty stern. So she said, you know, look, I think for your own sake, for your own sense of identity, for your own leadership, for what you're trying to accomplish, for how you want to lead the company, and for ultimately for what he wants, you got to do this. You know, and it's just one of those few times that happens periodically in a person's career where you have to put all the chips in the middle of the table and play the hand you've got.
Just so you know, my heart is beating extra fast right now.
Well, boy, mine was.
I'm sure.
So I picked up the phone and I called him and he answered the phone and I said, you know, exchange pleasantries. Uh-huh. And I said, by the way, there's something I need to talk to you about. And I'm going to kind of unpack this as we go through this episode. But long story short, I was able to share with him what I needed to share.
Okay.
He was mortified that he had done it.
Mm.
He was apologetic. He said, that will never happen again. I'm so
good for him.
Sorry.
Okay, that makes me admire him even more yeah. right now, that he was able to receive it and respond that way.
Well, and he got it immediately.
Oh, you know? Good for him.
So that was good. So that was one that turned out well. And to be honest, I've never had one that's not turned out well.
Okay, so that's a great segue into these considerations for coaching your boss. We have 8 of them, things for you to think about before you enter into a situation where you may be offering some kind of coaching or constructive criticism to the person that employs you, which can be scary and difficult, but this will help you succeed. What is the first one?
So the first one is check the weather. And here's what I mean by this. Bosses are people too. They have days when they're up and days when they're down. And you're going to dramatically increase your probability of success if you catch them at a time when they're at best not distracted, or worse, they're angry about something or they're moody or whatever. And you kind of got to know your boss. And I think this really requires empathy. You know, you've got to be able to see if the situation's right. You can't use this as an opportunity to procrastinate, but you've got to be, you got to have your emotional intelligence
on. Be smart.
Yeah.
I mean, just be smart just about
be
timing.
Smart. So I had a boss that I worked for at one time that was very mercurial. You know what that means?
Like crazy?
Well, kind of.
Or
bipolar.
Moody. How about moody?
Moody.
Okay.
Moody. So there were days when he was very affable and gregarious, magnanimous, charismatic, a joy to be around, and days when he was a bear.
Okay.
You know?
So you just never knew what to expect.
Yeah, I never knew what to expect.
All right, I get it.
So as a direct report of his and all the people that were around him that were direct reports, we would always ask his assistant as we entered into his office area, we'd say, what's the weather like today?
Oh.
And she would say, lots of rain, you know, or a thunderstorm, or sunshine, you know.
Oh, okay.
And so I just knew. It didn't happen too often. I mean, honestly, I made it sound worse than it is. But there were times when it wasn't going to be productive for me or for him to approach him on one of those days when he was in a down mood.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just say, check the weather. At the very least, if you've got a boss that's not bipolar, but they might be distracted or they might be dealing with bigger issues, and this might not be received in the way that you intended.
Well, I know that there have been times in the last year where I would be described as mercurial. You know, when you're going through big circumstances, you can, your emotions or your outlook can be very unpredictable at times. And I've even thought of that. There have been times throughout the last year where people have offered advice or input, but the timing was off. The advice was good, but they weren't taking into consideration outside factors before they gave the advice. And if they would have just stopped for a moment and thought, maybe today is not the best time, I could have received it a whole lot better. And so, you know, I've even thought of, you know, if your boss is sick, has a cold, might not be the right day to do it. Or if they were up late last night with a child who wasn't sleeping.
Yep.
Or, you know, just, it sounds silly, but if you really want to be successful, being aware of some of those extra factors can really help.
Yeah, give yourself the best chance. And by the way, this holds true for sharing criticism with anybody.
Yes.
Not just your boss, but it could be your spouse, it could be a child, it could be a friend, whatever. But you want to give yourself the best chance and be aware of the emotional climate that has been created.
Absolutely. Okay, let's move on. What's another consideration for ways that you can coach your boss?
Be humble. This kind of goes without saying, but here's what I mean. Approach it as though this could easily be reversed. They could be sharing with you something that's a blind spot for you. Because the truth is, we all have them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all offending other people in ways that we don't know, probably all the time.
Okay.
And so you can't approach it like, you know, I've got this all figured out, and I never make any mistakes, and I'm calling you out.
It's like a chip on your shoulder. Yeah. You go into a conversation like that, and it's bad.
No.
You put somebody on the defensive right away.
Yeah, you've got to relate to them. You've got to say, look, I want to share something with you that, to be honest, I've been guilty of myself. And this is not something I've got totally figured out, but I really think it's hurting our results. And, you know, can I have your permission? And we'll talk about these considerations too. But just approach it from a spirit of humility and also openness. You know, sometimes I've said to people, let me tell you what I see and tell me where I'm wrong.
Okay.
You know, I mean,
that's great. So you're offering input, but you're opening yourself up to the possibility that you might be incorrect.
That's right.
But you're offering the input. Anyway.
Because all I have is a perception.
Yes.
When you begin to confuse your perception with the truth, you're on dangerous ground.
Very. In marriage, in work, in friendship. Oh, it's so true.
I mean, there have been so many times that I've lit into Gail, I'm sorry to say, only to find out there was some fact or circumstance beyond my perception that changed everything. Mm-hmm. And then I was embarrassed and it just didn't go well.
Oh, been there, done that. Okay, let's move on. What is the third consideration when coaching your boss?
Okay, this one I have to be careful about because it can sound like manipulation. But the third one is to start with praise. And I there's a reason why I do this. Because when I bring up a criticism of somebody or something that needs to be addressed, I don't want them to feel like I'm attacking their person. Mm. This thing that I'm about to share doesn't define them as a person. It doesn't speak to their self-worth or their value or their contribution. And so I want to affirm them as a person. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, for example, one of the ways that you could start would be to say something like, as I did to this person, this that was my boss, I said, look, I want to share something with you. And I really think you're the kind of leader that will embrace this. I know I would if somebody came to me. I'd be thankful that mm-hmm. somebody pointed this out. So I want to share something with you that you may not be aware of, but I'm only doing this because I know you can handle it.
Okay.
So I'm affirming them as a person and their character, and that kind of sets the context for this. Okay.
So good. I mean, I'm listening to this and I'm like, okay, I would be totally open to what you would say at
yeah,
that point.
Yeah, and you just got to be careful. It's got to be genuine.
Yeah, it has to be genuine.
It can't be manipulation. You know, it can't be the old, praise, criticism, praise sandwich, you know, that we probably learned in a Dale Carnegie course or somewhere, mm-hmm. which, by the way, has some value of its own.
But if it sounds too rehearsed or plastic, people can see through that.
Yeah, like here would be one way to do it that wouldn't be authentic. You know, Michelle, you're such a great person. You're so awesome. You're somebody I really admire. And there's this one little teeny thing that I'd love to share with you. Yeah, that just sounds like, okay. I mean, when somebody starts doing that, don't you think, okay, I'm waiting for the other foot to fall.
I'm waiting. I know it's coming. I'm like, okay, just get to the point. All right, so start with praise. What's number four?
Number four, and this is key, is ask for permission.
I love, you know, I hadn't even occurred to me for a long time to do this, but I love this because you're basically, you've checked the weather and everything, but you're saying, is this an okay time? Are you good?
Yeah.
Can I have permission to speak this into your life?
And once they give you permission, it's really hard for them to back up from that.
And how can they get mad? Because they just gave you the green light, right?
So one time where this happened to me is I was in a review, financial review in the company at Thomas Nelson, and I had a consultant with me. And this was a situation where all the executive vice presidents and myself, we kind of served as a tribunal. And all the divisional managers would come in one after another and share their operating results for the previous month. Mm-hmm. And during the first break, after we'd had several of these divisional managers come up and share with us the good, the bad, and the ugly of what happened the previous month, this consultant pulled me aside. And she said, I'd like to share something with you. I know how important it is for you to get the results that you're trying to get here and mm-hmm. how important this year is. So she's doing the affirmation of me as a person. And she said, but there's something that you're doing that I think is really, I don't think you're aware of it, but there's something you're doing that's really inhibiting your results. May I have your permission to share that with you? Okay, now look, what am I going to say? No.
No, sorry.
No. And then my curiosity is going to be killing me.
Uh-huh.
So I said, of course. Of course, because I want to know. If I'm doing something uh-huh. that can be corrected that's inhibiting the results, then I want to correct that.
But the way she answers in that conversation is so respectful.
So respectful.
I mean, you feel esteemed already, and you're getting ready to hear a criticism, but you feel esteemed.
Well, so she says to me, and I've told this story. I can't remember if I've done it on a podcast, but she said, are you mad at somebody? And I said, no, I'm fine. She said, so today's good? And I said, yeah, this is one of my favorite things that we do here. I love hearing all the operating results and all that. And she said, so you're having a good time? And I said, I am. She said, well, you might want to tell your face. Because she said, you look so stern. And she said, you have this frown that is intimidating the heck out of people.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you need to smile. And then she smiled. And I was like, yes, ma'am, I get it. Okay.
And I've been accused of that before too. I can have a very focused, intense face and
I used to get this when I was speaking. And our mutual friend, Brian Shearer, came to me and said, you look really gruff when you're speaking. You got to practice smiling. So literally for months on end, when he would travel with me, he'd stand in the back of the room as I was speaking. And he would be grinning. He would, you know, point to his cheeks.
Good for
him. And over time, I learned to smile.
Yeah. Makes a big difference. And I mean, kudos to her for having the courage to say something, but also kudos to you for receiving that.
Well, she asked my permission.
Which is
so that was a great way to set it up.
All right, we still have four more considerations for you to lead your leader. We'll give those to you in a moment. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
If you're like most members of my audience, you're committed to winning at work and succeeding in life. But the truth is, you struggle with finding enough time to do it all. And that's exactly why I wrote my new ebook, Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, 4 Proven Strategies for Creating More Margin for the Things That Matter Most. You can't buy Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week, but you can get it for free by subscribing to my free email newsletter. My email newsletter notifies you whenever I've posted fresh content to my blog, so you don't always have to visit my blog to stay up to date. To get your free copy of the Shave 10 Hours Off Your Work Week ebook, visit michaelhyatt.com and enter your name and email address into the form on the page. If you're tired of feeling like there's never enough time to get it all done, don't miss your chance to discover how to reclaim the margin you deserve. Sign up at michaelhyatt.com.
Today, we're talking about how to lead your leader, and we've given you 4 considerations, 4 of 8, for you as you are in those situations where you need to coach your boss. Not an easy thing, but it can be successful if you know how to handle the situation correctly. The first is to check the weather. Make sure your timing is right for having that conversation. 2, be humble. 3, start with praise. And 4, so important, I love our dialogue about this, but ask for permission. What is the 5th consideration for coaching your boss?
The 5th consideration is to put it in context or help your boss understand what's at stake. So, for example, this boss that replied all and chewed me out in front of all my direct reports, I said to him, I said, look, I know you have big expectations for this year because you paid a lot of money for this company. You expect us to perform, and I understand that. And I also know that it's important for you that I be a good leader because, you know, kind of rises and falls on my leadership as the CEO, and I'm trying to lead a team of extraordinary people, and I know that you wouldn't intentionally want to undermine my management or my leadership because that wouldn't be good for either one of us or it wouldn't be good for the shareholders, whatever. So I'm giving him a broader context to consider this, you know, infraction. So this isn't just about him replying all. This is much more global than that. This is much more consequential than that. And it's going to be much more detrimental if he doesn't understand the gravity of it and address it. So I give him a context.
Which helps him to not see you as just a whiny employee that's just griping about something.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
So put it in context. Number 6.
The 6th consideration is to assume the best. This is so important. Even if you suspect the worst, assume the best. Because, as I said earlier, the boss probably didn't get up, my boss in this particular case, didn't get up with a plan to derail.
Ruin your life.
To ruin my life, to make me miserable. You know, it just came natural to him. You know, he just did
he
it.
He just stumbled into it, which we've all done that
That's
before.
That's right. And so in that conversation, one of the things I said to him before I shared the criticism was I said, look, I am absolutely confident you didn't intend to do this because what you did, I personally have done hundreds of times.
Yes.
Which is to reply all when you mean to reply to one. And you're probably not even aware of this, but yesterday when you sent that email to me, you probably thought you were just sending it to me, but you replied to everybody on the email chain. And the reason that was valuable that I assumed the best is because it was also the accurate perception. He didn't intend to do it. And when he found out, he was mortified. Now, if I had gone in and accused him of being ill-intentioned, you know, I can't believe that you would reply to all. You intentionally and purposely tried to embarrass me in front of my direct reports. That would have been, then he would have reacted because that's an untruth.
Yes.
And then he would have felt the need to defend himself.
It would have probably hurt your relationship for a long time, if not permanently.
Not permanently, and immediately.
And immediately.
Yeah, so you got to assume the best because sometimes that's the accurate perception.
Okay.
And it also gives them some wiggle room so that they don't have to be embarrassed, and so they can address the real issue and not have to defend themselves against something.
This is so important because we're all human. I mean, all of us have been in that position, and when we've made a mistake, we want grace.
Yeah.
We want people to believe that we're truly good and well-intentioned, good-hearted, and give us the benefit of the doubt. But it's so interesting how we want that for ourselves, but sometimes we're very reluctant to offer that to somebody else.
Yeah, exactly right.
All right, so assume the best. Number seven?
Believe that it matters.
Okay.
And here's why it's important. If we're not careful in our desire to avoid conflict, in our fear of the repercussions on us, we can minimize the results.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can say, okay, you know, he offended me, replied all, I've done it before too, it's not that big a deal, I'm just gonna put up with it. It's a little bit like, and I'm probably overstating the case, but it's a little bit like somebody who's in an abusive relationship who gets hit and says, well, you know, I probably had that coming, or, you know, it's just this one time. And then before they know it, they're training the other person how to treat them.
Mm.
And so it does matter. In this particular case, it mattered because it really affected how this person was perceived by my team.
Mm-hmm.
It affected my relationship. It would, if he persisted in that behavior, it would affect the outcome and the bottom line.
Yes.
And so I think you've got to get convinced of the fact that this is a consequential thing, that it really does matter, that there's something at stake here, and therefore it requires me to be courageous and act in spite of my fear.
Basically, it's really a test to see if you're truly a team player.
That's right.
If you truly value the relationship and value the organization, then you have to be willing to put yourself in an uncomfortable situation at times for the greater good.
Well, and take this other situation where I wasn't smiling and I was unintentionally intimidating my staff. What if Eileen, who came to me and told me that, didn't tell me that, and I just persisted month after month and people felt intimidated by me? Then there's no sense of collaboration, there's mm-hmm. no teamwork, I'm not mm-hmm. getting the best and highest performance because it doesn't feel like to them that I'm in it with them.
Yes.
I'm just this stern overseer who's intimidating everybody. So it mattered. Now, interestingly, how did I value her after that? My esteem of her went way up. I'm telling that story to this day.
I'm sure, yes.
Because she was one of the best consultants I ever hired because uh-huh. she had the guts to confront me and to make me a better leader.
Oh, that's so great. Okay, let's move on to the final consideration when coaching your boss. What is it?
Take the risk.
Oh, just simply take
the risk.
That's a big risk.
And here's why. Leadership is all about risk taking.
Yes.
If you're risk averse, and all of us are a little risk averse, but if you constantly try to avoid risk and live a life in the comfort zone, you will not progress in your career.
Mm-hmm.
You will not progress in your business or your organization. Leadership is all about taking those risks to go where no man or no woman has ever gone mm-hmm. before, and to do the things that others are either unwilling or unable to do. And so you've got to be willing to take the risk. And it's often in these little things that are easy to dismiss,
mm-hmm.
these things that are easy to excuse or not confront, that our leadership is really shaped.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we have these opportunities, we have to take the risk for the sake of our organizations, for the sake of our own character development, for the sake of our own leadership.
Well, today we've been talking about how to lead your leader, and Michael has given us 8 considerations when coaching your boss. They are 1, check the weather, 2, be humble, 3, start with praise, 4, ask for permission, 5, put it in context, 6, assume the best, 7, believe that it matters, and 8, just take the risk. Now, you're not always going to get it right every time, but this gives you a really good framework, strategy to go out there and have that difficult conversation. For those of you who are bosses, let me say, your employees aren't always going to get it right either. They may not follow all 8 of these considerations, but if we're moving that direction, I think that's something to be applauded. So grace all around. Well, if you've enjoyed today's episode, you can get an entire transcript of this show as well as the show notes at michaelhyatt.com. In addition, you can find the video if you'd rather watch than just listen at michaelhyatt.com as well. But do us a favor before you go, take a few seconds. It doesn't take very long. Head over to iTunes where you can rate this podcast. It really helps us to be able to move up in the rankings a little bit so there's more visibility and other people can get their hands on this free content. It makes a huge difference and we're very grateful. Do you have any final thoughts today, Michael?
Yeah, I would just say, imagine what it would do for your own leadership if you could get to the point where you were willing to coach your boss or your leader or your peers, and you were willing to do the things that so many people avoid. You know, it would make a difference. And you would become a kind of leader that's probably one in a thousand. But you can do that, and all of us can do that, and it's a pretty simple process. Most of all, it just takes a little courage. Not the absence of fear.
Not the absence.
But the willingness to do the right thing in spite of our fear.
And take that risk.
Yep.
Well, thank you for joining us today. Until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.